2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "Walk by faith and not by sight." In this message, Pastor encourages not to be double-minded, but to hold on to God's promises and receive it by faith.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That is an amazing word. That's the next generation rising up for Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. By the way, he's my nephew also. And it was my niece who was leading the worship tonight. So I'm pretty happy with two people in my family standing up in the next generation for Jesus. Hallelujah. If you're not too envious, put your hands together. Thank the Lord for the next generation. Glory to God. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7. "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Amen. Open your mouth and say that we walk by faith
and not by sight.
And not by sight. You know, faith is a journey. Faith is a journey. You know, every time you have to go somewhere on a journey, you take your vehicle, I do not know about you, but what I do is when I get to the vehicle and if I'm supposed to go on a journey, I check the dashboard to see the gauge, the fuel gauge. To see how low it is or if there's sufficient fuel for the journey. Every time I have to take a journey, I check. So just like the fuel gauge, there is a faith gauge that you should have. Because life is a journey. Faith is a journey. And when you're taking this journey, you got to see the gauge, the faith gauge, to see how much of faith do I have. Every day check the level of faith. Where is my faith for the day? Because just like fuel, the fuel can increase or the faith can increase or decrease. Romans 12 and verse 3 says, "The day you are born again, the day you trust in Jesus Christ, God gives you a measure of faith." God gives you a measure of faith the day you are born again. The day you hear the message of salvation. The day you realize that Jesus died for you on the cross of Calvary. That he carried your sin, he took your judgment, and he was punished and bruised for your sin and iniquity. The chastisement of your peace was upon him. The day you realize Jesus died on the cross for you. The day you say, "Lord, I'm sorry for my sins and allow his blood to cleanse you, wash you, make you new." The day you allow him to be the Lord and Savior and master of your life. The day that you're born again. God gives you a measure of faith. Every one of us. It is just like when if you buy a new vehicle, you go to a showroom and you pay the money and you are trying to take the vehicle out of the showroom, and when the day you buy that vehicle, you don't have to carry a can of petrol. They basically give you enough fuel to get to the nearest fuel station if you are from Kerala. Enough. There is a measure of fuel to get to the next. It's the same way. The day you are born again, you're bought with the blood of Jesus. God gives you a measure of faith to start your journey. We all start at the same starting point. Every one of us who are born again, we start at the same point. But some people make their faith to grow. They make their faith strong. It's like a mother who's got a baby. She's conceived. She gives birth to a child. The child is a gift from God. The gift is there. But for that baby to grow, the mother has to breastfeed that child. The mother can't say, "Okay, Lord, you gave me the child. Thank you for that. And let the child grow." The child doesn't grow like that. You have to feed the child. You have to take care of the child. You have to nurse that child. The baby has to be looked after. It's the same way with faith. When you're born again, God gives you a measure of faith. The same for everyone. The faith that was given to me is the same faith that was given to you. But then you have to make it grow. You have to make it grow by hearing the word. Faith comes by the hearing of the word. Faith comes by personally applying the word. Faith comes by your relationship with the Lord. Faith comes by an impartation of faith. But you make it grow. You're hungry for God. You know, when I go on a journey, whenever I take the car out, I do not know about you, but when you take it to put petrol into the tank, if you have a petrol car, you go to the garage, you go to the pump, you align your car near to the pump, and then you are looking, or you're telling them, and I tell them at least twice or thrice, it's petrol. Because I don't want him to put the wrong fuel. Are you with me? I don't want him to make a mistake. I check, I cross-check to see. I strain my neck to turn around or whatever to see whether he's got the right thing coming in, this petrol coming in. Because I don't want him to put diesel into my petrol car. So every time, if you have to see your faith for the journey, you have to be very careful on what you put in. You have to be very clear what you want to get into your life and what it's to get out of your life. There are certain things that you do, there are certain things you never do because you want to make sure faith is there and that your faith is strong. Let's look at a scripture, Romans chapter 4. It's in the New Testament, Romans. If you've got your Bibles, turn to that. Hallelujah. Give a shout of praise to Jesus tonight. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Romans chapter 4, verses 19, 20, 21. And speaking about Abraham, it says there, Abraham being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Amen. God gave a promise to Abraham. Amen. Say that with me. God gave a promise to Abraham. Immature Christians will claim every promise, even promises that are not relevant to them. You need to learn to claim promises that are relevant to you. God gave a promise. And then God confirmed that promise with signs. He said to Abraham, look, come out of your tent, look up into the sky. Just you count the stars, as far and numerous as the stars are, so your generation shall be. Look at the sand of the earth. Look at it. See, God is giving signs. Look at it. God not only gave signs and stars and sand, but God made a covenant with him by asking him to circumcise. Amen. And the Bible says, Abraham was not weak in faith. His starting point himself was not weak. Some of us, we are weak in faith. We only have the little thing that we got when we were born again. That you have exhausted in your journey. And you're parked somewhere, smoking a cigarette, wondering what life is. That faith was to get you to the next place where you can receive more from God. If your faith grows weak, that's when issues come into your life. He was not weak in faith. You listen to wrong people, wrong preaching, get into wrong WhatsApp groups, wrong books you read, Even if you tell a wrong person to pray for you, over a period of time, it can rob you of the richness of your faith. Some people pretend to have faith. They don't have faith. A strong faith will give you a strong mind, a strong life, and a strong journey. Hallelujah. People of strong faith or who put value on faith never miss a church service. If you're continuously missing a church service, you should change your name to Miss Church. Miss Church. You know, when you go to Africa, you find people by the name of Faith. Faith. Their name is Faith. You know, if church is a place where you have vitamins given to develop your faith, the preaching of the word comes to you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Testimonies are shared so that people, you can be encouraged by somebody's testimony of how they received from God. You need your faith to be strong because your journey is long. Your journey is long. Open your mouth and say, my journey is long, son. I need to be strong in faith. Where you're not doubting, where you're not confused, where you have peace with God, peace in your heart. So what makes your faith strong and what makes your faith weak? Three things that makes your faith weak. Romans 4 verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not. So consideration can make your faith weak. He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. The second one, he staggered not, the 20th verse. Staggering can give you weak faith. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Unbelief can make your faith weak. Consideration. What is consideration? The first one. You're always researching. You're always looking at how old you are. Hey, I'm 75. I still haven't got a baby. Oh my God, I'm 80. I still have not got a baby. I'm 85. I'm 90. Look. I'm 95. I'm 99. You're always considering your age, the facts of your life. You're considering that medical report. You're considering things happening around you. Considering things from the news, from YouTube, negative things. Looking at statistics of how the economy is going. The more you consider, the weaker your faith comes. Considering everything other than the word of God. Abraham considered not his own body. He's looking at, you're looking at, oh, is my eyes, oh my God. Get up in the morning and you're feeling little problem with your back and you say, oh my God, is it arthritis? My uncle had it. Your child coughs and you're suddenly checking out the news to find out what kind of cough is prevalent in the market now. Kochi city, coughing children. Nothing to find, too weak in your faith. So you check other things. Then you call 5 doctors that will give you a negative report. And you want to hear something. You check up in the school. They find out everybody there is coughing. And then you take a hold of the worst one. You consider that, thought about it, and you think this cough is looks like something very bad. And your faith has got weak. You're concentrating on how other people are thinking about you. What is happening in the workspace? What will people say? What will people think? You're considering way too many things. When you should only be considering on what God is saying to you. What His word is coming to you. Glory to God. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Alakastolo Moses Edia. Shatala Ramakasiana. Open your mouth and pray in the Holy Ghost. Laturis Kalete Facius me. Altukupros Kalatina. Jal Kaprodoluska and Edibosius Vetedia. Why is this what Halam Roses Venetedia? Al Kaproska Netebia. Zigal Prabadi Rigalaga. Haishas Kalto Proska Netedia. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Jesus came by and he told the disciples, have faith in God. Have the God kind of faith. Why? Because the previous day, Jesus walking that way with the disciples, even though it was not the season for the fig tree to bear fruit, Jesus looked for it. We are all people who look for, you know, fruit out of, results out of season. Because we expect it. The company is doing bad, still we expect a promotion. We look for figs when it is not the season for figs. Now I like this word. Jesus in Mark 11 and verse 14. Splitting headache is being healed in the name of Jesus. Lakasia, lightning headache, God is healing you right now. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Mark 11, 14. Jesus answered and said, one version says Jesus spoke to the fig tree. Can you imagine that? Jesus answered, another version says. It means the fig tree must have asked a question. Why are you expecting figs when it is not season? Jesus answered. There are some things that you need to speak to. When your faith is strong, you speak to your barrenness. Because barrenness is asking a question. Is God really alive? Consider your age, man. Your finances are speaking to you and you've got to answer it back. When you're sitting there by yourself, your bank account is speaking to you. How are you going to send your child abroad when you don't have anything in your account? Let go of that dream. You need to learn to answer it. Even the emptiness in your life, when it speaks to you and says nothing good is happening, you need to learn to answer. That's my faith, strong faith. You're not going to consider the season, the time, what is happening around you. Now sometimes we think Jesus cursed that fig tree because he was hungry. No. He was teaching his disciples. And I usually tell people in the church, you know, I know how, when I'm praying for people, you know, how long my body can stand. My stomach, when it is really hungry, and when it's about 5 or 6 in the evening, and I haven't eaten the whole day, and it's no more blessing that comes out. You know, you get kind of irritated. You say, can I see you tomorrow? Just go. Vanish, come on. And some people are waiting for that command to get hurt. They forget all through the day what God has been doing for them. They're just waiting for that 5 o'clock for pastor to say that. Mark 11, verse 22. Have faith in God. And Jesus said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Whoever can have whatsoever. Are you with me? Whoever. There is, see, God is giving us a level playing field. Whoever. Sometimes you think, this pastor, this apostle, this evangelist, oh my God, they can do the world. No, no, no. God is saying, I'm giving you a level field. Don't look at the circumstances. Don't consider too much. Other than the word, say the word out. Jesus wanted to teach the disciples. Whoever can have whatsoever. Whoever, are you one of those whoever's? Then you can have whatsoever. If you believe in your heart the word of the living God and speak it out, say it out with your mouth. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. See, there are enemies of faith. One of the enemies of faith is double-mindedness, because a double-minded man can never receive anything from God. James chapter 1. So considering things is to make you double-minded. He can never receive anything. Doubt is equal to double-mindedness. James chapter 1. Look at that. James chapter 1, verse 6. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Amen. Hallelujah. 8th verse. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So 6th verse is saying, if you ask in faith without wavering, without being double-minded, you will receive it. But if you do not, you will not receive anything of the Lord. The 7th verse. Glory to God. Consideration is to make you double-minded. But open your mouth and say, I'm not going to be double-minded. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Amen. When God has spoken, you receive it. You hold on to that promise. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Amen. The second one that makes your faith weak is stagger. That is thinking twice. Not sure. Hesitating. What do I do? Indecisive. Should I stick with this marriage or not? Every day you keep asking. Ayyo, why is this happening to me? Some people don't say amen, they only say ayyo. Should I not? Could I, couldn't I? Why? You're always staggering. Never able to come to a decision. Never able to take a stand. Always unsure. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. When you stagger and keep on staggering, you're like a drunkard. How do you take a journey staggering? How would you see the blessing in that journey? Staggering. Glory to God. Tonight, in the name of Jesus Christ, everything that causes you to stagger, every double-mindedness, everything that makes you indecisive, uncertain, every spirit that tries to make you doubt God's word, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus out of your life. The promises of God are amen. The promises of God are sure. Rikala sketoria. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of Jesus. You cannot stagger. Everything that you have is by faith. In the Christian life, in the Bible, Acts 26:18, sanctified by faith. Romans 10:9, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess forth with your lips that Jesus is Lord, you are saved. So salvation by faith. By grace you are by saved. Ephesians 2:8, by faith. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please God. Galatians 3:14, we have the promise of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We have the promise of the Spirit received by faith. Romans 1:17, from faith to faith is the righteousness of God revealed. So your righteousness is revealed by faith. Romans 5, you're justified by faith. Ephesians 6:16, above all, take the shield of faith. 1 Peter 1:5, you're kept by faith to an inheritance undefiled, pure, holy in heaven for you. 1 Peter 1:9, you shall receive the outcome of your faith, that is your salvation. 1 Peter 5:9, resist by faith and the devil will flee from you. And what more? At least one of the scriptures we will read. Romans 14:23. Look at that. Romans 14:23. Shall take up prokolosthenesis theria. Yes. Read on.
And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whoso
even eating should be by faith. Some of you are eating and eating. Even now while watching the message, you are eating. Read that one more time.
For he that doubteth,
is
damned.
Is damned.
If he eat. Because he eateth not of faith.
Because he eateth not of faith. And whatever is not of faith
is sin.
Is sin. Whatever that is not of faith is sin. We say every kind of sin in the Bible, we say it. In every church. Nobody says this is sin. Whatever is not of faith is sin. The church highlights certain sins. Murder, adultery, idol worship. Oh, yeah. What about whatever you do out of faith? Or lack of it. If you gotta keep walking, keep moving, take the journey, you have to learn not to stagger. Believe God's word as it is. Glory to God. And the third one is unbelief. See Romans 4:19. Unbelief. That word unbelief there is unpersuadable. Unpersuadable. You cannot be convinced. Even if Jesus came into the room and showed you his wounds, you won't be like Thomas. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. You'll say, no. In the last days, even some people will come and say they are Christ. Whatever, you won't believe. Whatever testimony you hear, how much of a preaching you hear, how many miracles you see, you are wired in such a way not to be convinced. That's what unbelief is. Instead of preaching for 40 minutes, even if I preach for 2 hours, you still won't. Even if 100 people are healed, you won't believe. But because your kutti talavaina didn't go. Say, I am not unpersuadable. I am persuaded by the word of God. I am persuaded by the Holy Spirit. I believe in Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. We used to sing that song. I believe in God the Father.
I believe in God my Father. I believe. believe in God the Father.
I believe in Christ the Son.
I believe in the Holy Spirit.
Our God is
three in one.
I believe in the resurrection.
I believe. I believe in God the Father.
I believe in Christ the Son.
I believe in the Holy Spirit.
Our God is three
in one.
I believe in the resurrection.
I believe we will rise again.
For I believe in the
name of
Jesus.
Come on, church, sing it together. I believe in God the Father.
I believe in Christ the Son.
I believe in the Holy Spirit.
Our God is
three in
one. I believe in the resurrection
that we will rise
again. For I believe
in the name of Jesus. I believe in God the Father.
I believe in Christ
Jesus.
I believe in the Holy Spirit.
Our God is three in one.
I believe in the resurrection that we will rise again.
Amen.
For I believe
in the name of Jesus. I believe in God the Father.
I believe
in Christ the Son.
I believe in the Holy Spirit.
My God is three in
one.
I believe in the resurrection.
I believe in God the Father.
I believe in
Christ the Son.
I believe in the Holy Spirit.
My God is
three
in one. I believe in the resurrection that we will rise
again. Amen.
For I believe in the name of Jesus.
Oh, yes. I believe in God the Father.
I believe in Christ the Son.
I believe in the Holy Spirit.
My God is
three
in one. I believe in the resurrection that we will rise again.
For I
believe in the name of Jesus.
I believe in God the Father.
I believe in Christ the Son.
Salatorium
I believe in the Holy Spirit.
Gracious
my God is three in one.
I
believe in the
resurrection
that we will rise again.
For
I believe
in the name of
Jesus.
Come on, just sing it together.
I believe in God the Father.
I believe in
Christ the Son.
I believe in the Holy Spirit.
Our God is
three in one.
I believe in the resurrection.
I believe.
Yes,
Lord.
For I believe in the
name of Jesus. I believe in God the Father.
I believe in Christ the Son.
I believe in the Holy Spirit.
Our God is
three in one.
I believe in the resurrection that we will rise again.
I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in God the Father.
I believe in Christ the Son.
I believe in the Holy Spirit.
Our God is three in one.
I believe
learn to ask God in faith, not in unbelief. Now, sometimes people think that if they cry enough, God will hear them. If they cry enough. So your primary prayer strategy is to cry. Lord, it can start with crying. If you feel good about it, just cry. But that won't get you anything. It has to move from there to faith. There are many times my emotions are very overwhelmed. I sit in the presence of God and cry. But then it doesn't stay there. There comes a point from there it shifts to faith. The psalmist also cried. But then he switched gears and he moved into faith. If you don't move, if you got a car and you're always driving on the first gear, you're going to take a journey, but you're always in the first gear. You're going in. How much hard you press the accelerator is still in the first gear. There is a limit to which it can take you or where it can take you. Sometimes people are putting all their weight on that accelerator. Poor accelerator will break. But you got to learn to shift gears from crying to faith. But it begins with always saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Where you say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's when you begin to shift. Look at somebody and say, I'm going to shift gears from lamentation to faith. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes people are always in prayer time is always blaming somebody else. Because of that person, because my parents didn't do this for me, because that person didn't help me, because, you know, pastor didn't make me grow, because of that, because of this. You have to stop that victim language. It is because I was born in this country. Even if you go to another country, you will make it like your country. You know why? Because you're just frustrated. You just do not know how to cooperate with God. You cooperate with God by faith. When you read Mark 11, you know, everything of faith is connected to your whole Christian walk. It says in the 25th verse, if you have unforgiveness in your heart, God won't hear your prayer. So can you imagine you have faith, but it's an enemy of faith when you are harboring bitterness and anger and unforgiveness in your heart. If you can't forgive, it's made your faith weak. While you're cooking, you're thinking about injustice done to you. While you're having your bath, you're having a secret dialogue with your mother-in-law. Because you're upset. Can you imagine that? And you're declaring and saying things in faith. Because Mark 11, speaking about faith, speaks about unforgiveness in the 24th verse. 25th verse, read that, Mark 11.
And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any.
Yes.
That your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespass.
That's right. See, you have this unforgiveness, bitterness, and your animosity in your heart. The moment that you see the other person, lightning comes out of your eyes to kill that person. You're killified, the other person, in your thoughts. If you cannot forgive, your faith becomes inoperative. The same way, it's an enemy of faith to walk in guilt, a feeling of condemnation. Because every time you close your eyes, even though the blood of Jesus has forgiven you, you are feeling condemned. It's like the mosquito, you know, when you lie down to sleep and the mosquito comes and makes that noise in your ear. It won't bite you.
but it just make ruin your sleep. Are you with me? It just keeps that makes that's that nagging voice, that nagging thought. After all that you've done, you're going to trust God for that miracle? Looking at what you've done in life, you deserve that sickness. So it's that condemning voice. That's not from God. That's not the Holy Spirit. Open your mouth and say, the blood of Jesus cleanses me. I'm whiter than so through the blood of Jesus. See, guilt and condemnation is an enemy of faith. There is no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. God didn't create faith to exclude you. He created faith to include you. It's a level playing field. Anybody, whosoever, can have whatsoever if he will forgive. Stay away from guilt and condemnation. Realize this negative voice, this mosquito sound in your ears, in your mind, is from the enemy that is taking your confidence from asking from God. That's not from the Holy Spirit. Anything that robs you confidence from coming to God is not from God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you still with me tonight? Amen. So what makes your faith strong? Let's get back into the message. Romans 4:20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So what makes your faith strong? Giving glory to God. Learn to give glory to God when you go through a tough time. Learn to say, God is good. He is good to me. My God is big. I have a big God. Learn to say that. God is a good God. Rewind the old testimonies in your mind of what God has done for you while you're still waiting for your new testimony. Are you with me? Glory to God. Learn to give glory to God in every life situation. You're looking for your breakthrough, but give glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Learn to say that with your mouth. You know, I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for every blessing in my life. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, that giving glory to God amidst every other challenge keeps your faith strong. You have some sicknesses. Say, Lord, thank you for having healed me in the past. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you for showing me mercy when I stumbled and fell last time. I thank you that you will redeem me and make me strong again. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, that you blessed me with a family, that I have a young wife, beautiful children. Thank you, Lord. More glory, more strong. Hallelujah. The more glory you give God, the more strong you become. I share this with you. The more glory I give God, the more stronger I become. The more glory I give God, the more stronger I become. Hallelujah. You want muscles like mine? It's full muscles. Not a single fat, just pure muscles. I won't prove it. I'll just say it. You've got to believe it by faith. You give glory to God. Your faith becomes strong. Look at the 21st word. What makes your faith strong? 21st word. Being fully persuaded. That means assured beyond doubt. You have to sometimes assure yourself that God will heal you, because the word of God says that it is my will to heal you. You got to learn to protect your assurance, not your insurance. Some people only protect and keep their insurance. They don't keep their assurance. You got to learn to protect your assurance. I am assured that he who began the good work within me, he will bring it to completion. It's going to be okay. That will keep you strong.
Amen. The third one, and I close with the 21st verse. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Convinced that God is able to perform. You need to concentrate on the ability of God and not on your weakness. You got to learn to concentrate on the ability of God and not on your weakness. Abraham was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he will also do. I'm convinced beyond doubt that what God has promised, considering the Joshua generation, considering, hallelujah, God will do. Glory to God. And tonight your faith is not in Abraham. Your faith is in Jesus Christ. You're rooted in Christ. Glory to God. You got to trust in Christ. In the integrity of His word. I'm fully persuaded. The one in whom I believed. Oh. I'm fully persuaded. Whom I have believed. It is not Abraham. It is Jesus. I put my faith in the Son of God. I put my trust in the Son of God, in Jesus Christ my Lord. I'm fully persuaded that He is able to keep me from falling and present me before the Father, faultless and blameless and holy. I put my faith, my trust in Christ. I put my faith in Christ. I put my faith in His word. I believe in the integrity of God's word. I believe in the integrity of God's word. What God has said, heaven and earth might pass away, but His word shall not pass away. His word shall not return back void. It shall always fulfill the purpose for it which was sent. I put my faith in Christ and in His word. Have you done that tonight? Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Be persuaded that He will perform what He has promised.